I don't know how this talk is going to come together today. But while I was sitting here for the last hour with my old friend, the floor in front of me, I thought I should title it something like The Joy of Learning to Live Ordinary. Ordinary. Just sitting here. That kind of ordinary. And why does it seem so extraordinary? That sitting here in front of a floor, a whole world gathers together and sings and footsteps. Airplanes going overhead, providing music, and more music, I think I'll go impressionistic and just whatever comes as something interesting to put out after having been reflecting on meetings, actually the group dialogue yesterday, meetings last night and this morning. One in particular stands out now in my mental vision. Sitting in a room with somebody later in the evening, it was getting dark outside, and we agreed to leave the light off, just let the dusk and the darkness just enter the room as it came. The person was talking about, and again, I don't remember the details. People say memory is faulty. I don't know if it's faulty or the recall is what it is. How do I know if it's faulty? You have to tell me. Person was sitting there, basically feeling, as I could remember it, anger and discomfort that came out of an interaction with some people, that this anger and discomfort was sort of becoming increasingly common. And they were talking with a certain speed and rhythm, as I saw it, sort of going over and over what had happened with some people, why it bothered them, why they wished it wouldn't bother them. And I listened for a while, and then I tried to interrupt that process, and I got rejected. The person went on. And I said to myself, okay, I'll just sit here and listen. I don't know what I'm doing, but I am listening. And I don't know where this person is going with this. I don't really know how they're cooking on it. Seems kind of like a dead end to me, but how do I know? Sort of that kind of ordinary way of being with somebody. But it was in this quiet room. So I decided to just start listening. I would say watching, but really I started learning about another person. And as I see it, as the way I would tell the story, they went around the block several times, bringing in different events that happened. This is interesting, and something's really bothering them. I have no idea what it is. There was a sense that there was sort of this feeling of like, I don't know if what's bothering them is what they're actually talking about, but I think I'll keep my mouth shut. And so, instead of listening to what I thought I should say, I started listening to the room getting quieter and the sounds of the outside, an occasional passing car, as this person, as I saw it, bounced around in anger and discomfort. That's my way of putting it. They probably say something completely different. They should say something completely different. And then at some point, I don't remember how, and I don't remember the details, but the monologue took a sharp, pick your direction, left turn. I don't remember how it happened, if I said something, if they said something, who cares? It took a left turn and then went down and deep into deep grief about something else. Deep grief. And when that happened, when I saw that person shift from what I saw as bouncing around to sort of like going into that grief, I found my mind turned off. In hindsight, it was like, I think the feeling was, there's nothing left to do. And this person explored grief in a way, they said, they came to a retreat to explore grief in a deeper way. And I guess that deeper way found them. And I was a little surprised that all I had to do was sit there and keep my mouth shut. I'm saying that in a nice way. I wasn't hard on myself. But it's interesting to me. And it was interesting to me, my own body's mind response to a person diving down into grief was to go very quiet. And I also realized I wasn't afraid of where this person was going. It was getting very intense. And all I could feel was, it's okay. I guess that's kind of, it felt ordinary okay. Like, there's this ordinary floor here, it's okay. I didn't have to be anybody in particular or act in a certain way. It's like this person, the images of like swirling around at the top of a funnel and they just sort of went down the tube. And when they thanked me later, obviously my first reaction was like, for what? But I understand that, thanks. Because I realized people have also listened to me in that way too. And then I spiraled down the funnel too. It seemed ordinary, commonplace. That's what happens. Yeah. Now another meeting presents itself to my inner vision, memory, faulty or whatever. Let's call it faulty memory. Person was talking about, yeah, it's a little faulty. I can't remember if they said 10 years or 20 years. I don't remember. A long time. Practicing what they themselves called a kind of analysis. What am I? What do I see when I ask myself, what am I? What is my body? They didn't say it like that. I'm making it up. Out of the conversation, out of the memory of the conversation. I'm painting a picture. And they were talking about something about, I look for the sense of self, I look for me, and I never find anything. And I sort of instinctively took their knees and shook them, wobbled them around, just to see what would happen. And it was interesting. The person didn't react in any odd way. They just sort of shook a bit, kind of maybe smiled, I don't remember. Seemed comfortable somehow. Somebody else took their knees and shook them. And as we continued talking, it came out that done this analysis, asked it for many years, come to a sense of just over and over again looking for me and can't find anything. And the way they initially put it was something like, at first they said, these thoughts keep coming back over and over, or something like that. Stuff still comes. Thoughts still come. And I thought, what's the problem with thoughts coming? You know, that's my instinctive response. So you were thinking, so what? And they said, yeah, but it's psychologically uncomfortable. Something still doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right. There's discomfort, psychological discomfort. And I don't know if it was said explicitly or implicitly. What did I make of that? Do I have anything to say or add or point out or point to? I can't remember if they asked it like that. I don't remember. But there was like some presentation of like, sort of like, now what? And it's interesting, as we kicked it around a little, I think that's when the person said, it's like doing analysis of yourself. And the person has experience doing analysis in their work. And finds that you do all this analysis in your job, for example, but then you always get to a point where something's still not working. And they said, and sometimes you finally see this wire's not connected over here, and you touch that wire over here, the whole damn thing works. And I could really relate to that. The way I read it was, you do all this analysis, you learn from it, you get to a certain point, and it didn't get you where you wanted to go. Didn't get you what you wanted. And we both agreed that there's sort of, in a sense, I felt we agreed, there comes a time to sort of, you let that sort of intense analysis go, and something shows up, like a wire has to get connected somewhere else. But this thing of like, inquiring about oneself, what am I? Who is Les Schaefer? Who is Les Schaefer? Person say they could feel themselves a little attached to that analysis, a little like, you know, this is me talking now, not them, like, you know, this is what I should do, this should get me somewhere. Maybe I thought they raised the question of whether they were attached to it in some way. And at some point I said something like, well, what would happen if you quit doing that analysis? And it was interesting to me, the person sort of stopped. Huh. I never thought about that before. And that conversation sort of stuck with me for many hours, sitting around outside, sitting here before the talk. I think they mentioned a friend who actually worked with a man named Nisargadatta. He's an Indian teacher, I think, Indian. Who came back from working there, and I think he said something like, sort of didn't really work for him or something like that. Then he saw that person 20 years later, and that person had sort of blossomed and opened. It made me think of a time when I was actually sitting right over there many, many years ago and had been practicing a kind of focused or concentrated meditation on the question, what am I? And, you know, it might have been around this time of day I was sitting there. And then it sort of struck me, you know, I've been sort of pushing at this or efforting at this kind of way of questioning in some, I thought it was wholesome way, but it began to feel artificial. And what struck me was I was sitting there and thinking, I was starting to feel stuff, strong feelings. And I realized, after all this time of practicing what am I still was afraid to die. And I could really feel that pain. And I recognized that pain as exactly the pain that brought me to that practice in the first place. Identical. No different from the day I started. Absolutely no different from the day I started. And sitting here before the talk, sort of pondering that, I thought maybe the purpose of practices and effort are precisely to bring us to our own dead ends. And what do you do when you reach a dead end? When you reach the dead end of extraordinary effort, extraordinary trying to be, trying to get, what happens? You feel a little ordinary again. Like, yeah, I'm still a member of the human race. I'm still somebody sits down and my eyes open and there's the floor right in front of me. Nothing happened. Oh yeah. So then, sitting this morning, pondering some more about this, I can tell you that that teacher who said, if you don't want to wake up, by all means, don't sit quietly. They left something out. If you don't want to wake up, by all means, don't listen to people talk about what means the most to them. Don't do that. Don't listen to people's deepest aspirations, fears, concerns, desires, griefs. Don't go there. And I was sitting here sort of like you're all doing, sitting here. And memory brought up the event at camp. 50 years ago, when I got news from home. And like I'm sitting here and I can see forward the floor in front of me, a memory reconstructed itself of I was at the camp flagpole and I was up above it looking down at me, which means I was to the west looking down at the flagpole, which means out in front of me must have been the mountains behind and a big lake. And then I think there were some big trees around the flagpole. And there was a couple people talking to me, telling me what had happened. And I don't remember what happened that day. But as I was sitting here, kind of ordinarily pondering life, sitting, I felt very transparent, insubstantial, open, and deeply sad at the same time. And I realized that if I stuck with this, it would get very intense. And there'd be a lot of maybe tears. And I thought, I can wait. The room is quiet. I wondered, why wait? Why wait till later? And it struck me, there's something about saying goodbye to a thing. Say goodbye to retreat. Goodbye to trying. Goodbye to the life I'd known. Goodbye to what I wanted. And it was like an ordinary goodbye. Goodbye. This sense over many years coming to goodbye in different ways. It sort of, for me, answered the person's question about what to do next. I've taken analysis all the way to this point, and I'm still in discomfort. And my experience is at some point along the way, one bids an ordinary goodbye. And one is filled with life. And than a life according to circumstances and context. This goodbye carries the goodbye of almost losing somebody that one had loved. Goodbye. Goodbye, Les. Ordinary goodbye. Goodbye is one way to talk about moving on past, through a dead end or analysis. Another very similar way has occurred to me, a kind of a ordinary digestion. Taking analysis to a point, reaching a dead end, and just sort of coming back to earth with that. Staying with that. How does it feel to live like that? There must be many ways to say goodbye, to digest, to metabolize, to pass on. And then one's here again. At the end of a talk, sit for a while and have lunch. What could be funnier?